And I think there was some leftover treats from the life group that met earlier. I went down there earlier, said I got to take part in some coffee cake, which is like, very good. Anyway, we're going through our series on Colossians, and I just want to, I made a mention of a meme a couple weeks ago that that kind of catches our attention, and I realized that this video that someone put on online, now people have basically taken this little boy and then put him in all kinds of different memes for different things. But I thought some of you that maybe didn't catch the reference, I'm going to show this video. But the first of the question is this: do you like surprises? Do you like surprises? No? Some do, some don't. But here's, I wanted to just show this video. It'll play twice. Yeah. You know, I don't think you need to turn the lights off for this
Come
one.
Come over.
Where are we going?
Around. It's a surprise. Do you like surprises?
I do.
Okay. Come over.
Where are we going?
Around. It's a surprise. Do you like surprises?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, now you're going to be like, now if you see this, if you were to see it, the boy's got like dirt all over his face. He just was digging in a big hole. And now different people have basically taken him and that voice into different things like, hey, deal. And then he goes into some long black hole for different people. So it's sometimes this idea that surprises are good for people. Sometimes they're very scary as well. Or sometimes they're not what you expect it to be. And so I think in this context of Colossians and in reference to where we talk about the poem, where it says that Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is actually the full picture of who God is. Jesus is if you want to see what we talked about, if you want to see who God is, we look to Jesus. And I think that's a surprise for many people that is like a relief, a good thing. It's a surprise for usually people in power of not a good thing. Or it's usually a surprise for people that, especially holding on to religious power, Jesus, what? That's the fullness of who God is? What? No way. It's got to be looked at. That's different than that. And so as we hold on to that image of surprises, I want to ask you this question as well, the next one. Do you want to know a secret? Have you ever had someone tell you that? Yes. Do you want to know a secret? And how have they told you? It's usually been like, if it's just for you, it's usually like in a quiet space or they pull you aside. Hey, do you want to know a secret? And that could be like good or bad, right? Depending on what it is. Here's this question. Do you want to know a secret? We're going to read two passages from Colossians in two different translations. We're actually going to jump in just before Colossians 2. Colossians 1, 26, or yeah, 26, 25 to 29. And we're going to start with NLT. This message, speaking about Jesus, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you, Gentiles, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that's in work, that's work within me. I love that part, that when the NLT does this translation, because we all know translations are interpretations. And this is the secret. Christ is in you. What? Hold on to that for a moment. I want to look at the same passage in Colossians with the NIV, because it talks a bit more of, and it lines up with more of our this idea of our mysterious hope that's in Jesus. Verse 26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Might be a secret. This might be the first time we're actually hearing it. Maybe for some of us, it's an old thing. Yeah, for sure Christ lives in me. Okay, what does that mean? What does that understand? How do we understand that? Well, Paul is basically saying, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. He'll talk about, and what the life group spoke about, read earlier in just a few sentences later in Colossians 2, it talks about understanding with all knowledge and wisdom. But it's a mystery. And he repeats himself, it's a mystery. Christ in us and lives in us in a mystery. So now my question is, for me as a pastor now leading this and trying to explain it, how do I explain a mystery to you? How do I explain the mystery to you? An author that I've read quite a bit, Brian Zahn, says this. The gospel is more like a song, a symphony, a poem, a painting, a drama, a dance, and mystery. Unfortunately, it has been packaged as some kind of scientific formula, a pseudoscience of biblical facts, atonement theories, and sinner's prayer. Some of those are all good things to understand and know, but it's more of a mystery about what. I like what someone mentioned earlier. I was sitting in life group. I won't say who it was. I forgot what it was. It's what happens. In a few days, I'm turning 54, so I forget these things. But someone talks about how they said, I was learning today how much I didn't learn, and what a glorious thing that is. What? Someone in their 50s or 60s said that today. That's a beautiful thing. Where they're understanding God to be more of a mystery, but even yet, he's a mystery because of who Jesus is. And Jesus is a person. So the gospel is more like a song, a symphony, a poem, a painting, a drama, a dance, a mystery. When you think about those things, how do you understand a poem? I was reading one of the poems that Elliot was trying to unpack for his English class. This weekend, I read it once. I had to read it again. I was like, no, I don't know if I get it either, Elliot. But what do you have to, you have to sit with it. You have to read it. You have to allow it to impact you. You have to allow the experiences that you've experienced to somehow engage with the words that are off the page. A symphony, what do? You experience, you listen keenly. If you're distracted, you're going to miss a bunch of stuff on the symphony. A painting, sometimes I'm not very good at this, but I'm learning. Sharon's teaching me this. But last year when we were in Ottawa for Miles' Ringette Championships, we went to some museums, and you could see some people were just sitting, standing, like just looking at a painting for the longest time. And there was a time where, I'm forgetting what it was, but we were sitting in the atrium, and the artwork was on the ceiling. I was like, I can handle that. So you're basically sitting like in an Adirondack, looking up the whole time. I'm like, this is how I can pay attention. And it was just beautiful. And it allowed the art was, I was able to engage in the art more and more as I paid more and more attention to it. And I was able to see more and more things within it. A dance, a mystery. So I think how the one thing that I can maybe help us to engage in the mystery of Jesus would maybe be allow us to look at Jesus a bit fuller. I could talk about stories of Jesus where we do that quite often. But we need to stare, gaze, ponder at Jesus. And so we're going to have an opportunity to do that today. This might be really easy and really good for some of you. For some of you, it might be like painfully hard. I'm just recognizing that. That might be, for me, it's taken me a while to understand this a bit more. We're going to do what's called Visio Divina, which is like Lectio Divina, but we're going to look at a picture, okay? And the picture, we're not going to pull it up yet, but the picture is a depiction of the prodigal God, or the embrace of the prodigal, embrace of the prodigal son, and it's an artist's rendition of that picture. It's one of the most famous parables in the New Testament. We've talked about it many times, about understanding who God is, understanding who Jesus is, and then Jesus tells a parable about who God is. And so we're going to have an opportunity just to sit and look at this picture. We're going to gaze at the picture. You're going to notice shapes, colors, lighting. You're going to maybe notice details in the foreground, the background. And as you look at it, you're going to have an opportunity just to picture maybe for some of you that scripture. As I look, I can tell with our the size of our congregation, you've all heard this story, so I don't have to read the story again. And then I want you to meditate on a part of the picture or something and ask the question, what might the divine be speaking to you about as you're gazing on this picture? What might this artwork be speaking to you? What would your response be? Maybe there's a time that you might be wanting to pray for someone during this time. Maybe you want to just sit and try to understand it yourself. And we're going to be quiet, and we're going to turn the lights off. And I want us to, in a sense, I know this is a risk for me, for some of us, but I want us to just kind of engage in this, because if Jesus is a mystery and you only hear me talking all the time, I think it's okay for us to stare at Jesus. And this is a picture, an image of who God is, an artist's rendition of it for sure. But we're going to take some time to do that. So, Murray, could you turn the light off? And we're going to pull up this this picture. This picture is by Vicky Shuck, and she has a whole bunch of different kind of pictures. And so we're going to take some time. Yep. And just take some time to stare at it. Some of you might want a nap, and that's okay. But take some time to stare at this picture. can leave the picture on and maybe turn the lights on. If you could switch the lights just so the one above is, yeah, thank you. It's a little harder to see now. So take a risk here. Knowing this story, pondering on this picture, understanding the mystery of Christ, and if you're okay with it, what caught your attention as you're looking at this picture? And maybe some short sentences, you can just call that out. Or maybe there's something that catches your attention, or something you long for, or something that you've... Yes, Irv.
I got drawn to the other side, the backfield, the field.
Right.
And then that story, it's the other side, that resonates with me.
Right, yeah. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. Yeah, thank you, Irv. Yeah. Christine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, meet you where you're at. Yeah, because sometimes we're in tatters, and yet there's an embrace. Lucas, yes.
I'm looking at like the body language of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The son, like the father is still like in a full embrace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, connecting.
Right.
That shame and like pulling off, but father's still pulling off to the full embrace, even though we're not necessarily fully ready to do that either. Eventually, he'll reach out.
Right. Thank you, Lucas. That's huge. Yeah. Body language is still, it seemed like it's still like this, right? And yet, what does the father do? What does God's love embrace look like? Even when we're not ready for it. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, Linda. Yeah. And then we'll get a couple.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. Good word. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I was noticing, similar to the son working out, the other son working out in the field, but I'm also noticing the calves.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots to do.
Yeah, lots to do or lots happening. Even the sun out, you know, one day, but he notices us.
Yeah.
Notices those that are broken.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was just really thinking about how that represents the nations, and so much is happening around in the
right.
nations. He just wants to come and embrace those that are just broken and under.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, God embracing our brokenness. And I like that you got out of the individual. You talked about a group, maybe even nations. This is representative of humanity. But also humanity is made up of each one of us. So we can kind of see it in both ways. Yeah, Chelsea.
So even with the brokenness, I feel like because of the colors,
yeah. So there's hope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is good. Thank you. Hi, Tamara. Thank you. Oh. That's beautiful. Thank you. Tamara said the shape of people looks like an arch, so it's like a pathway to the love of the Father. Thank you for speaking that out. Yeah, yeah, we got this, Sharon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prompted to pray for people, Iran, others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Eleanor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I caught the abundance too, knowing, understanding that a little while earlier the story has him with the feeding himself with the pods of the pigs, right? And yet he comes here and it's all, look at, and it's the beginning of this abundance, and whether that is literally food or if that's love and embrace and forgiveness. Yeah. Dwight.
First of all, there was a person who came to mind and I just wanted to say, come home.
Hmm. Yeah. Come home. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It's art. You could make it that. You're right. Okay, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yes, Randy. Thank you, Dwight. Impressed by the depth of the gratitude in the Father's face. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, when we come home, in a sense, like the story doesn't tell us of scolding. The story, some interpreters will actually say that, will translations interpreters, Bible scholars will say that the son wanted to say it, sorry, but he wasn't able to get it all out. And during that time, the father said, no, no, go, come, get up, go. And he starts calling for the party. Yeah. Chad.
Yeah, I think what struck me as well was the father's face. And I think gratitude is a good word, but also that in that gratitude, just showing that something that he'd been longing for a long time has now come.
Right. Chad talked about the face of the father. It's almost like longing for, been waiting for a while, and now it's the fulfillment of it. Yeah, a desire. We don't always understand. We don't always think about what, like, God has these desires. We might not always think about that. Yeah. Denise, yeah, this is. Oh, the long embrace. This morning I came in and I was going to, I'll say it, friend, he had to go now, they have soccer, but Vince gave me a hug. Sometimes I'm not sure if he's going to crack my ribs, or if, and but then when he hugs me awkwardly too long. But today I'm like, I need that. Yeah, it's good, I'll take it. The long embrace. Denise, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Sylvia.
Not only the long embrace, but that what we missed was the couple of minutes right beforehand when the father was running.
Yeah, right, yeah.
The energy that goes in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some shadows. Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. This is, when we talk about mystery, this is what we're talking about. To be able to gaze on who Jesus is. And this could happen in different places and spaces. And what a beautiful picture. I don't need to say too much more. I'm going to end with a quote from Dwight. Dwight started our series off with this quote, which is mystery in itself. But go home and chew on this for a while. Continue to. I've been Jesus, the Creator in you, remaking you into the image of the Creator. We're being remade in a good, and it doesn't mean we're a bunch of junk. It means we have potential to live in those ways, and we've done these things that have, but we don't necessarily know which way to get, which way to be led to. But the God of the universe is continuing to remake us in, by being within us. That's the mystery. What, really? Not? What do you mean? And if we think a little bit about what we just looked at, this picture and what you all have said, if that's the God of the universe remaking in me, I wonder if he's remaking us a little more gently than we think he would. So that we're a little bit more like him or like the divine. So I find it incredibly beautiful that I think as I zero in more and more on who Jesus is, God's grace and God's love and my theology is actually way more expansive. And that is a beautiful picture of who God is. It's in Jesus. So what a beautiful picture of this for us. Sometimes we're gonna take part in a mystery for those that are willing to do so, which is communion, the Eucharist, which is like Eucharist, table of thankfulness, and it's the reminder of. Who Jesus is, that Jesus, in a sense, he changes all of, he takes the Passover and flips it on his head and says, no, this is what it's for me now. And then now we realize through Jesus, the Passover, linking it to the scripture that we talk about, that's for the Gentiles, for everyone, is now this Passover, through Jesus, it's for everyone, right? Literally, not just people group, but for everyone. Those that would receive this invitation of God's grace in our lives. It's also a projection of the future. At some day, the great hope, mysterious hope, is that, yeah, God will realign this world that seems spiraling out of chaos sometimes. And the great hope that in one day we will be fully it will be fully revealed, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will rule and reign in a way that is for all. But we live in the now and then, in between the now and the not yet. And so often, sometimes, I don't know about your background, but my background was, and you guys have been great just allowing me to walk through this over the years, allowing me understanding, oh yeah, so as I receive Jesus when I'm younger, and I understand that, but the mystery of Christ in me is me learning to be more and more like God, and it takes a long time to get there. And it's in this realization that it's not just a contract that I have with God, but it's this relationship that I have with God, and he's working in me and working through me, that then I am working to be the future me in the present. So when we think about heaven, like we think we want to get there, but no, we actually live here on earth now. So what do we do? So I think this phrase is something that we can be thinking about, that we live in the present now as the kind of human that you will one day become, specifically as Jesus followers. And we don't do it perfectly, but we do it faithfully. And so would you know that? Would you know the embrace of the Father, the mysterious embrace of God, the mysterious, scandalous grace in your life of God's embrace, if I can say it that way? And I hope that we can be reminded of that even as we participate in communion. The bread is gluten-free, and we want to thank the juice is from the vines from Brian's yard, and I just think it's a beautiful picture of God's grace in our lives. So I'll just I'll take this off, and I'll lead us in our invitation for those that are willing and wanting. And I'll pass this out, and if you're able to take and hold it, we're gonna do it old school, and just take, receive, and you can pass it on and hold on to the bread and the juice until we participate with it together. But this here is the table. This is the table, not of the church, but of God. It is to be made ready for those who love God and who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, but because God invites you, and it is God's will that you who want to know God should meet God here. So, come.